tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I'm just dying laughing. I was scanning some news headlines here during the Fox News update, listening to the news on one ear, but more importantly, laughing at a headline here. This just, I just couldn't help but laugh when I saw this. So you guys know the Montana legislature only meets every other year. Some state governments, some state capitals, they have a legislature that meets every year. You know, like Congress meets every year, kind of throughout the year. Although then they take, most of the month of August off. And the hardworking members of Congress keep working, but back home in their districts, traveling the state, getting feedback from folks like you, et cetera. And then some people slack off. But anyway, here's the letter to the editor in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. After property tax debacle, the legislature should meet only every 90 years. Only every 90 years the legislature should meet after the property tax debacle. I got a kick out of that one. All right, let's jump right into it. Of course, it's Monday. Time to get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn with us every Monday. Evelyn, great to have you on the show. What's the good news to kick off the week here?
Well, we have at least two really bits of good news. One, over the past week, I've encountered two sage bits of wisdom, and both of these reflect the news. One of those pieces of wisdom came from someone I just heard talking on TV who said, the only way to end the housing crisis is to build more houses. And the other came from economist Stephen Moore, who said the only way out of welfare is a job. And so the news is that there's no problem of finding a job in Montana. Montana's level of employment is off the charts, and it's been that way for some time now. June had an unemployment rate of 2.8%, the same as last month. In fact, Montana has had 9 straight months of unemployment under 3%. Montana's unemployment rate has dropped below 3% on only 3 occasions since the rate started being measured in the 1970s. And for the past 4 years, the rate has been below 3.4%. Now, such low rates are essentially to say there's no unemployment at all, because there is a certain level of churn in unemployment numbers that gets measured as being unemployed, while it's really more a matter of job changes or life changes. And Montana's unemployment rate is 1.3% below the United States average for June and ranks Montana 4th nationally.
Wow. And I noticed that even one of the liberal websites had to acknowledge the fact that Montana has reached 4 years of an unemployment rate below 3.4%. God, what did Montana do these last 4 years? Oh, that's right. We've had a Republican governor, a pro-business Republican governor. Evelyn Pyburn, hold that thought. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some developing for today, we'll see some late-day showers and thunderstorms developing. High temperatures will stay in the upper 80s across the area. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially early on, some of which may be strong, as temperatures will drop back off into the mid-50s in Bozeman, about 62 in Billings. Still seeing more scattered thunder and quiet as on Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump has sued the Wall Street Journal over a story that he denies, and this has brought out into the public information that might otherwise remain confidential. The Journal reported that back in 2003, Trump sent a birthday note to convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein with a sketch of a naked woman. Trump says he doesn't even know how to draw. He didn't use that language. And this is one set of accusations, and the Journal has yet to respond to the story. Also, the president ordering Attorney General Pam Bondi to release grand jury testimony from the Epstein case. There have been a lot of developments here. This will ultimately be up to a judge, and the media can't get enough of this story, and MAGA World continues to be upset. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Great to have Evelyn Pyburn with Big Sky Business Journal here on the show with us. Speaking of business news, this is something I should mention later. The DailyCaller.com has this headline: Trump's copper tariff plan shines light on regulatory mess holding U.S. mining back. Especially good news for our friends other than the fact that hopefully Team Trump is starting to peel back this regulatory mess. But the whole point of the Daily Caller article is to make the point that, Trump is putting a tariff on foreign copper, which is good news for American copper. Although we still have way too much of a federal government regulatory mess that is holding back U.S. mining. So you can tariff foreign mining all you want, but if we have regulations in America that amount to a tariff on American mining, to quote Hillary, what difference does it make? Anyway, let's jump back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn. Evelyn, any thoughts on that topic in particular?
Well, just that, it's just been that way for a long, long time now with all these regulations against mining at every turn, no matter what the, what the mineral is or how much we need it. Going back at least, the 70s, they've just been piling on and piling on to make it as difficult as possible for mining to happen in Montana or anywhere, really. And they have really crippled our economy. And when it's interesting, I think that as hyper as they get about the impact of tariffs on the cost of goods to consumers, they never, ever, ever talk about the cost of all these regulations on our natural resources to consumers. And in fact, as we've seen with the issue regarding the energy, when they have imposed all these regulations on forcing people to use alternative energies, which are not market viable and have to be subsidized, And they're still going to push up the cost of energy, and yet they never talk about that as a cost. And in fact, when it comes down to it, and the utility companies have to raise their prices, regulators or environmentalists are the first ones to stand up and holler and scream and yell about the impact on consumers. So it's just I don't know. It's kind of a mess that they seem to enjoy.
Yeah, great, great point. But I think President Trump is starting to unwind this. The U.S. Supreme Court also had some recent rulings that'll spell good news as well. One quick sidebar here before we talk about housing. Evelyn Pyburn and I were talking during the break as well. You talk about 4 years of unemployment below 3.4% here in Montana. And what changed? A Republican governor. But, of course, the state legislature deserves as much credit for that as well. And but, of course, we already had a Republican legislature. We just had a Democrat governor that was blocking so many of their good reforms. And now with a Republican governor, those are going through. So just wanted to throw that one out there. Evelyn, I thought it was interesting. You've got a big report in the hot sheet out this morning about home building. Let builders build is the headline. But when it comes to this whole copper topic here, the Daily Caller, this was interesting. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, building construction accounts for the largest share of U.S. copper consumption at 42%. So that's pretty interesting. That building and construction is the largest share of U.S. copper consumption. Talk about what stood out to you from the National Association of Home Builders and what they're saying needs to happen in order to meet the housing demand.
Well, while there's been some slight improvement in Montana in the struggle for many people to afford housing, it's not a problem that is going to go away until the cause of it is addressed, which I think the National Association of Home Builders most accurately identified in a recent report, like just a few weeks ago. Three things are making it difficult for builders to meet the demand for housing, they say, and one is governmental overreach at the local, state, and federal levels, and the other the policies of governmental overreach are governing building materials, zoning, and energy use, and that has created an imbalance of supply and demand. In other words, these regulations and laws impose extraneous costs on building homes, and that is pretty much all that these laws do. And absolutely everyone knows it, and yet there is very little movement to undo any of these regulations. Also, having a more recent impact is the uncertainty surrounding tariff policies and interest rates, which creates doubt for potential home builders. And I say recent impact because the regulations have been building and building and building as to their impact on the cost of housing, and it's been going on for, you know, three or four decades, I would hazard a guess. But anyway, and finally, the other reason is a matter of the labor needed, and that kind of goes back to our first discussion about the employment levels.
And also, you know, the importance of trade jobs and trades educations and an over emphasis on liberal arts degrees in higher education as well over the past few decades. All right, hold that thought. More to follow right after this quick break and the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is House Call for Health. You've heard of being hangry, so hungry that you're angry. What about being hot-gry, with summer in full swing and the heat as well? One health expert is sharing why rising temperatures might make you feel more irritable. Dr. Susan Albers, a psychologist with Cleveland Clinic, says our bodies can go into overdrive to keep us cool, and that can create stress, draining energy, and impacting how you think through issues. Dr. Albers says heat can also take a toll on your sleep, and the less sleep you get, the more impatient or irritable you might become. Previous studies show heat waves can increase rates of emergency room visits, aggression, and violence. Dr. Albers notes it's important to drink lots of water to avoid becoming dehydrated because that could impact your mood as well. And if you do have activities or errands to do, try them in the early morning or evening hours to avoid the worst of the heat. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Boy, that really got people fired up. Some guy from Northwest Montana called into Montana Talks about halfway through Thursday's show, and he said, why does the flag even matter that much? And that's when patriots from all across the great state of Montana started calling into Montana Talks. Hey, that's why we keep the phone lines open for you, so you can be heard, so you can stand up for that flag and what matters to you, what matters to Montana. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Smokey the Bear. Smokey. And you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
There's a lot of whispers that ranchers may be retaining a few more heifers to try and rebuild their herds. But is an overall herd rebuilding effort underway? Don Close with Terrain shares his thoughts.
When we talk about that steer heifer breakdown and those video sales, you know, the thing to keep in mind with those heifers is really there's 2 to 3 bites at the apple of whether to retain that female or not. The ones who are purchased as calves and develop fully, but then when she sells again as a yearling, so could there be a lot of them on the fence right now that, well, I'm willing to grow her and I will make a decision next spring whether I want to be the owner or let somebody else be the owner. So I'm not convinced we're seeing that much retention, but I agree with you that we're playing a lot of what-if scenarios.
Don Close points out that heifer sales at auctions have dropped to levels last seen in 2014-15 during the last major herd rebuilding phase. The July cattle inventory report due out this week will be key. If the percentage of heifers on feed falls again, it will confirm herd rebuilding is underway, but tighten supplies for feeders. If not, there won't be enough 2024 calf crop heifers available for significant retention again. That July cattle on feed report due out later this week. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, if you got the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet in front of you, if you don't, you need to subscribe and sign up for it. Always some great information in there. Plus, get the print edition as well. Evelyn Pyburn with us here. Yeah, we were talking about how the National Association of Home Builders has identified 3 things that are making it difficult for builders to meet the demand for housing. Governmental overreach at the local, state, and federal levels is a significant hurdle to building more homes. In fact, one of the things that Evelyn points out here in the hot sheet is that you look at some of these local regulations, or you combine local, state, and national, especially some of these so-called energy conservation code mandates. One rule alone can add as much as $30,000 to the cost of a new home. And Evelyn, they end up forcing this stuff. They force this on home buyers. They force this on home builders. It's like if you want energy conservation stuff in your house, pro tip, you can ask the builder to do that, and they can give you a cost estimate, and you can choose to do that. But instead, it's being forced upon people.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be understood that while the logic and recommendations for these regulations comes from on high, the people implementing it is local. It is every city council votes on these things, and this is where the cost manifest themselves, and I think that one of the reasons not much has happened in changing it is it has to happen in every city and town individually. And I just read recently that in Bozeman, in fact, where finally the cost of rentals is dropping because of all of the high-rise apartments that they're building, but there's still a demand for houses, and the regulators in Bozeman, you know, they have a lot of wealthy people with some influence, and so they're getting a lot of pressure to build these houses. So they are backing off on the regulations temporarily, apparently, but they're telling contractors, you know, there are certain zoning requirements or setback, I mean, just regulations that they don't have to abide by anymore, and or at least for the time being.
Interesting, because they're getting so desperate for housing.
Yeah, but they understand. They know where the problem is at, and when they have to, they can loosen it up. There's And that's what I think has happened over time, because all the time I've been reporting, which we won't mention how long that is, but that's one of the main things I have had to cover was regulations, starting for me in Bozeman. And you know, they've changed, they flip-flopped, and it, where one time 40 acres was a good thing to push people to buy in order to have a house, and then suddenly it went back to where they want you to live in a high-rise shoebox. So, you know, it's not as though they have the corner on wisdom, but they do impose their regulations, and they do nothing more in, you know, like probably 80% of the cases, they just add cost.
Yeah.
And
when you add costs, that not only makes the cost of the home more expensive, but as we talked about in Big Sky with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, you also add to the price of insurance. So then it's more expensive to insure your home and everything in it as well. We love taking phone calls here from Montanans, and we had a guy from Bozeman, and he was complaining about the fact that they didn't allow fireworks to be lit inside city limits in Bozeman. And I thought, isn't that kind of so symbolic about the building policies, where you make it harder for people to light fireworks in the city limits where there's green lawns everywhere? What do? They go out into the brown, the dried up stretches of land outside of town that isn't watered as frequently, unless it's irrigated land, right? And so, right. Similar to we're going to make it harder to build houses inside city limits, and then what ends up happening? They push out into the countryside. They tear up the farmland. They tear up the wildlife habitat because the cities make it too hard to develop in the cities.
Yeah, that's it's just nonsense. Because you're absolutely right. When was any fireworks caused a fire in the city? But it's always causing fires out in the country.
It certainly can happen in the cities. I guess just my point is what's easier to respond to versus what's harder to respond to. Yeah. Hey, Evelyn, if you can, stick with us for a few more minutes here. Wanted to get your take on a couple more stories here. So if you can, we'll come back to you here in 60 seconds after the Fox News update. By the way, when it comes to letting home builders build, Charlie Kirk did a great conversation with Mike Rowe. We need 500,000 more electricians in America. Not in the next 10 years, not in the next 20 years, in the next couple. Evelyn was able to stick around with us here. Evelyn, yeah, a couple other stories I wanted to get your take on here. Mercer named to the bench. We talked about this already last week on this show. Of course, Billings Republican, former U.S. Attorney Bill Mercer, nominated by President Trump to sit on the federal bench here in Montana. The good news is that's just one seat. That, and as I understand it, that is the seat held in Missoula that's been held by Judge Christensen there. So there's a whole nother federal seat that is also coming open with Judge Waters. We talked about it at length last week, but I'd love to get your take on this as well and how significant this is to Montana's business climate, especially when it comes to these federal judges.
Oh, well, I can't believe that, you know, everybody hasn't seen it. I mean, the decisions that the judges have been handing down, which are not necessarily in line with laws, but in creating new laws. And really what really gets me is how they push back over and over again, you know, laws that have been largely supported by the state legislature and by the people of the state. They get to filed in some court case, and boom, they're just dropped by judges who apparently think that they are a legislature themselves and can write laws. And it's really hurting us, and it's not going to change until we get judges in there who really do what they're supposed to do, which is to determine if a law violates the Constitution. And that's it. You know, they're not supposed to rewrite the law or push forward some agenda that's contradictory to the Constitution, and which I think Montana is leading the way in. I mean, I have read numerous times that there's articles from other areas of the country, and they always tend to mention Montana as one of the worst states as far as this happening.
Yeah.
So if we don't get this changed, and I think, yeah, I hope that there's like maybe six more judges that get replaced by
Trump. Oh, yeah.
Before.
You could take the whole slate of federal judges that are sitting on the bench right now and get rid of every single one of them, and I'll tell you what that would be the most important thing you could do to help the state of Montana right now, and the Montana Supreme Court as well. Although we got at least one or two on there making some common sense decisions, but the entire slate of federal judges have all had some just atrocious decisions, and they were all put on the bench by Democrats. Waters hasn't been as bad as the rest of them, but even still, it's like I've seen some decisions from her in the past where it's like, what in the world? I mean, I know you were appointed by Democrats, but for Pete's sake. All right, Evelyn, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. Make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. I think we got Ashley Smith-Thomas next, if I'm not mistaken.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Is this a human voice or one created by artificial intelligence? A majority of voters, 6 in 10, have a great deal or some confidence they can tell when something is generated by AI. Yet, our Fox News survey also finds fewer than 4 in 10 are confident the federal government can properly regulate the technology. 2 years ago, 38% felt artificial intelligence was a good thing for society. Now, that's up 5 points to 43%. A slightly larger number, 47%, believe that technology is a bad thing. White voters, those ages 45 and over, and women are most likely to say AI is bad for society. Overall, 4 in 10 say they use AI at least monthly. That includes 1 in 10 who are daily users. Still, a majority says they rarely or never use it. Visit our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade. Hi.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. If you guys missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we spent the majority of the hour talking about Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard's takedown of the Obama documents. I mean, wow. If there is one thing you watch later today, go back and watch Tulsi Gabbard's interview with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Morning Futures. That's a big story that's out there. Also, as I mentioned kind of earlier in the hour, or was it at the end of the 6 o'clock hour of the show, President Trump is already calling their bluff on Epstein. President Trump and Attorney General Pam Bondi are seeking the release of Jeffrey Epstein case grand jury transcripts, and the Democrats are already freaking out. The Democrats are already panicking over this one so badly that Jasmine Crockett is saying President Trump is a wannabe Hitler on MSNBC, all because he's demanding that the Epstein grand jury files be released. Ashley Smith-Thomas, political strategist, Freedoms Fund USA, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, what's your take on this whole story? It seems like another one of these stories where the Democrats think they have their gotcha moment, and then you just wait for it, and Trump calls their bluff once again.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, you look at the whole situation regarding Epstein. I mean, you had the MAGA supporters that were very upset originally a few weeks ago, in which President Trump has stated that it's actually a Democrat hoax, in which people didn't really understand what that meant. And then more and more, it seems like, to your point, he's calling the Democrats bluff. And so here, you know, they were saying, you know, release the list. And so he's moving forward with bringing transparency like he promised he would with his administration. And he ordered Attorney General Pam Bondi to seek the release of grand jury testimony related to Jeffrey Epstein. That was on Thursday. And immediately after he ordered her to do that, she posted on X a few minutes later stating, quote, "We're ready to move the court tomorrow to unseal the grand jury transcript." So on Friday, the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche made the request Friday asking judges to unseal transcripts from grand jury proceedings that resulted in the indictments against Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell by stating, quote, "Transparency to the American public is the utmost importance to this administration." So what does that all mean? Essentially, a judge will need to make the final decision on whether material can be released, which could take some time and is unlikely to be immediate. It's unclear what material the Trump admin will be asking to be released. It's also not clear how much of the Epstein-related material in the government's possession is grand jury testimony. And so we also have to keep in mind, too, that the government is generally required to keep grand jury material secret. And it's common for not all material that is shown to a grand jury, which means before a person is criminally indicted, to emerge during a criminal case. So this here is not going to be a quick process. It could take months, especially if associates or victims in the case do not want to be disclosed. So it's going to be interesting to see what the judge does here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I used a case example here in Montana where a guy was busted for basically attempting to hook up with a minor. He was busted by a third-party organization and one of these catch-a-predator-type groups way back in, I think, February or March. And a lot of people were saying, hey, how come he hasn't been arrested? How come he's not being prosecuted? What the heck's going on here? Well, it was a third party that led that, you know, the bust. Well, law enforcement and prosecutors have to go through their due diligence and they have to follow chain of custody if they want to get a prosecution in a court of law. That guy just now last week is being charged and is being prosecuted. And so, you know, there's some people that just want a list of raw data that might have innocent people or victims publicly identified in it. What we want is prosecutions and people actually held accountable. And that's what justice truly is. I also thought it was interesting that you know, somebody who really dropped the ball with this Epstein case is the same person who also dropped the ball with the Sean Diddy Puff Daddy Combs case as well. Her name is Maureen Comey. She's the daughter of the disgraced former FBI director James Comey, and she recently got fired from the Trump DOJ after she failed in those two major cases.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think here it just goes to show that the deep state is alive and well and working against the administration. And I think that, you know, you look at Comey's daughter and what transpired, you know, that even shocked people, the fact that Diddy got off on human trafficking charges and was not held accountable in that regard, especially after all the testimony that came forward. And so, you know, one can beg to question, okay, what's going on here and how's that possible? And why are we not seeing justice served? Which I understand why people are frustrated, particularly in the MAGA community. But I think too, when you look at this in the bigger scheme of things and really what's going on, I think this is much bigger than what we realize. And, not to diminish what, you know, people have gone through pertaining to Epstein, but I think right now it's more of a distraction and taking away from the accomplishments of the Trump administration and what they've accomplished here in these past 6 months. But also, I think, too, it also takes away from bigger things that are coming to light, particularly with what happened on Friday. You know, when you had DNI Tulsi Gabbard releasing her report, as you mentioned at the beginning, on Friday, alleging that the Obama administration officials manipulated intelligence related to Russian interference in the 2016 election. And she even used strong words when she stated that these former officials engaged in, quote, treasonous conspiracy, and said that her office was turning over evidence to the Justice Department for possible criminal referrals. And in her memo, she cited former DNI James Clapper, former CIA Director John Brennan, and former FBI Director James Comey. And so this here, I think, you know, all eyes are going to be on how this is going to move forward. But I also think, too, a lot of eyes are going to be on Attorney General Pam Bondi to see how she's going to handle this. Right. And if we're actually going to see indictments and prosecution in regards to this. Because here's the thing. again, I go back to that strong language coming from Tulsi saying this is, quote, treasonous conspiracy. This was election interference. This here was a Russia hoax that we, the people, endured for 4 years in President Trump's first term, the constant turmoil and chaos coming from the intel community in Capitol Hill, such as Adam Schiff telling the American people, Russia, Russia, Russia. I mean, President Trump has been correct since day one when he said this is a Russia hoax, and sure enough, it's coming out to be it was a hoax conjured up by President Obama and his officials.
Way worse than Watergate. Way worse. I mean, Watergate is a nothing burger compared to this thing. Ashley Smith Thomas, I know you got to run to your next interview. Thanks so much for your time this morning on Montana Talks. Great to have you as always.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah, great to have you on the show. Because the other thing I was going to ask her, but I know she had to run, is the fact that the Democrats are now, I even saw the Montana Democrat Party has some guest opinion column where they mention Epstein. You guys never talked about Epstein. Never talked about Epstein. Now all of a sudden, we care about Epstein. Oh, give me a break, you bunch of phonies, you bunch of frauds. I guess Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar was pressed on Biden-era inaction when it comes to the lack of action when it comes to what happened, what didn't happen during the Biden era, and about the fact that Democrats are now pretending to care about Epstein. And she totally dodged the question. Now, Alan Dershowitz, look, I think you got to be skeptical of what Alan Dershowitz has to say about the whole Epstein case. But nonetheless, he was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Here's part of what he said.
The Trump administration's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein case continues to dominate headlines. The Justice Department has petitioned a federal judge to release grand jury transcripts in the case. I sat down with Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz, who once represented Epstein, to get his take on what evidence there actually is and how much of it he thinks we'll ever get to see. Professor, good to have you with us, because you've got a bit of an insider look at some of this. Let's separate fact from fiction. You say there was never a client list per se, but there are other names. There's other information. Are they in the grand jury transcripts, and do you think a judge releases that?
I think the judge should release it, but they're not in the grand jury transcripts. They're sealed records by two or three federal judges in the New York courts. I've seen some of these materials. For example, there is an FBI report of interviews with alleged victims in which at least one of the victims names very important people, and the names have been redacted. I know some of the names from my investigation. For example, George Mitchell, the former senator, Bill Richardson, the former ambassador to the UN, Ehud Barak, the granddaughter of Jacques Cousteau, were all accused. Now, whether any of these people actually did anything wrong, we don't know, because we know there have been many, many false accusations. For example, a woman named Sarah Ransom filed an affidavit, and it's probably in the record, and it's probably been sealed, in which she accused Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Richard Branson of having sex with young people, and she said she had videotapes of this. And then after an investigation, she admitted she made up the whole story, and yet the affidavit still remains in the court record. So we have...
All right, we got to hold it right there. Quick break. We've got phone lines open and more after this.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV Insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV Insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Fox News commentary.
The abused and neglected dogs of Skid Row need our help. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's Will Kane Country.
The two guys on Trigonometry say we can't even get leftists to come onto our podcast. I know that I have trouble booking leftists for debate because they don't want to debate. They don't want to converse. They want to enforce their viewpoint.
Watch it live at noon Eastern Monday through Thursday at FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
I'm working with several LA area animal rescues to bring awareness to and end the abuse and neglect of dogs on Skid Row. Not only are the dogs living on Skid Row subjected to daily animal abuse at the hands of drug-addicted homeless people, I am distraught by images of dogs locked in wire crates under tarps in the heat in total darkness with no food or water. This treatment is against the law in LA, but you'll be shocked to know the enforcement, especially on Skid Row, is light to none. Police have been called. LA Animal Control has been called. Nothing has been done. These encampments in LA are a free-for-all. The homeless do whatever they want and get away with dang near anything, including animal abuse. Governor Newsom said he's going to crack down on encampments, but there's no enforcement. And I'm sick and tired of the homeless getting away with everything in LA. It's a free-for-all. It needs to end. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some developing for today, we'll see some late day showers and thunderstorms developing. High temperatures will stay in the upper 80s across the area. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially early on, some of which may be strong as temperatures will drop back off into the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 62 in Billings. So we'll see more scattered thunder and quiets on Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
A woman who was arrested in Shelby, Montana for smuggling illegal aliens into the country has now been convicted in federal court. You may recall when we first reported this story back in March, the suspect was accused of smuggling illegal aliens and Trinidad Aragua Venezuelan gang members into the country. Crazy story, but yeah, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy announcing the details.
I'm talking about life-changing Skechers slippers. Get your slippers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What should we get to here before we run out of time this hour of the show? Oh, you know what? Let's go back to copper. Let's go back to trades. I want to go back to what we were talking with Evelyn Pyburn about, because there's other topics I could get to, but then if I get into that topic, I know people are going to call in and talk about it. I know we're going to get messages in response. So in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about a story that I posted on our Montana Talks website right now. Longtime Montana radio newsman says tourists are killing Glacier. We're going to talk about that story with our friend Sarge. Jim Sargent is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show talking about how tourists are killing Glacier. Plus, honoring Montana's Blackfeet Nation. President Trump wants the Washington Redskins name back. Maybe we'll start the 8 o'clock hour with that story. Who knows? Let's see. Right now, yeah, because in the 8 o'clock hour, that's when our friends from the Blackfeet Nation can hear us on KJJR out of the Flathead. Actually, in the 8 o'clock hour, they might even be able to pick us up on the Blackfeet Nation through KINX out of Great Falls. But, yeah, right now we're broadcasting live Billings, Livingston, Bozeman, Butte. And then a whole bunch of folks listening on the app as well. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, our friends from Great Falls and the Flathead jump in on the conversation on the radio. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, the rest of the state jumps in. So that's why I'm holding back on a couple of those specific stories for when our friends from that neck of the woods are tuning in on the radio as well. Charlie Kirk, though, he was talking with Mike Rowe. You know, the dirty jobs guy, Mike Rowe, and he was talking, and basically Charlie Kirk, he's got a post on X that I shared. He's highlighting the fact that we need 500,000 more electricians in just the next couple of years. You know, I was talking about this copper story, and building construction accounts for the largest share of U.S. copper consumption at 42%. That's a Daily Caller piece. But tying in with that, not only do we need more mining and more timber, but we need more electricians. We need more plumbers. I've got a friend who's a plumber. He said for every 10 people like me that are going to retire in the next few years from being plumbers, there's only one replacing 10 of us. Here's a part of Charlie Kirk's conversation with Mike Rowe.
It's not one person doing a really foolish thing. It's a lot of people standing by watching a lot of dumb things happen, including, and perhaps especially, the removal of shop class from high school. That really put us that put us on a road, Charlie, a bad road. And, you know, it didn't just impact the widening skills gap. It removed from view any optical proof that a regular kid could have that these muscular jobs exist. Walking from English to math class and sticking your head in the metal shop and seeing that image right there. At least you could get a look at something that resembled work. But we took it all out. We just arbitraged it right out of the whole process. And so parents were left with this idea that there was really only one path for their kid. And if their kid couldn't take that path, everything else, including that guy welding two pipes together, was some sort of vocational consolation prize. Well, the chickens have come home to roost. AI, as I said in that clip, is coming for the coders. It's not coming for that guy. That guy's job is secure, and he's making mid-six figures, and that's the message.
Well, and this is
to show.
All right, so, that was it. We kind of brought this up last week as well, that, you know, what Micro is saying here is that AI is coming for a lot of jobs, but it's not coming for these trade jobs. AI isn't taking out the plumbers. AI isn't taking out the electricians. AI isn't taking out the skilled construction workers. So anyway, great conversation there. Oh, and I figured out what we're going to start the 8 o'clock hour with. You guys know William Perry Penley? He's been fighting for the West since the Reagan administration. He was the head of the BLM under Trump, first go around. He recommended this guest. He said, you got to get this lady on your show. She's with us next.
Asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.